Well, before we get into that, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we can gather here today, and we can worship you, we can hear these songs, we can sing them together, and even though those carols are all so familiar, they have such rich meaning, such deep text to them that we know that it's not just a matter of singing them for old time's sake, but a matter of singing for you and worshiping you with them. So God, as we've sung, O come and worship, maybe we come together and gather in your presence and bring your Holy Spirit in and amongst us today so that as we hear your word opened up to us, we hear something for each of us individually that you would have as we prepare these final days for Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are at the end of Advent, just 2 days away from the big day. Christmas is coming whether you are ready or not. Some of you probably have celebrations to attend between now and Christmas Day, yeah? Who is going to go somewhere at some point, not just to church, but like you got people to see, you got food to prepare, right? You've got presents to wrap. Maybe you have presents to buy. I was talking to one man. He says he still needs some work to do to get on the nice list yet. He's sitting back there. No, he didn't say that. I suggested it to him. There's some makeup work to do, maybe, to get even relationally all set. But sometimes those final things, like here we are, we're there. It's Christmas. It's time. And I feel like when we get to these points of Christmas or any type of large new thing or a different thing, there's three primary emotions that we have. And these three things we're going to talk about today. Here's the first one. The first one is anticipation. We have anticipation for the thing that's upcoming. And then the next thing is apprehension. All right? We're anticipating, but like, oh, apprehension means there's a little bit nervous about it. And then finally, affirmation. So we have anticipation for the thing that's coming. There's something fun coming up. There's something that's amazing we're going to do, something tasty that we're going to eat, some people that we're going to see that we haven't seen in a long time, and we're just so excited about it. We're excited. We're anticipating what the little children are going to do Christmas morning. Oh, that's going to be so much fun to see them open those gifts for the first time. So we have that anticipation. But I think if we are honest with ourselves, we have to recognize that there's some apprehension that goes along with some of these things as well. Apprehension can be prevalent this time of year. Otherwise, we wouldn't have what's called a blue Christmas. Like, that's just part of the reservation that we have this time of year. So maybe this year didn't turn out like I thought it would, and I'm not celebrating Christmas with the people that I thought I would celebrate Christmas with. Maybe there's apprehension because, hey, we're doing a whole series on how to pay for Christmas after Christmas is over. Uh-oh, I've got all these gifts for the kids. It's going to be great for them, but now I have to figure out how to pay for it. We don't have the financial resources for it. So maybe Christmas isn't going to be such a good day. It's an apprehensive kind of time. But in the end, that anticipation and that apprehension, we come to affirmation. Affirmation for the fact that no matter what our human celebrations are, the reality is Jesus has come into our midst, into our world, and that presence is unmistakable, and it's beyond our plans for parties and celebrations. So we must affirm the fact that Jesus Christ has come into the world. Affirm the fact that ready or not, here we come for Christmas Day. Ready or not, the celebrations will come and go, and we will be with loved ones, and we will enjoy them or not enjoy them, depending on how that goes. And no matter whether or not the turkey falls apart, like on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, you know, they cut into it, and, you know, it just falls apart. Ready or not, here it comes. Here it comes. That's what we affirm. We affirm Jesus has come to the world, and our apprehensions pass away. Anticipation, apprehension, affirmation. These three are the building blocks of every single Hallmark Christmas movie that has ever been made, okay? The city of Evergreen is in perpetual Christmas. How many of you have been watching? You know what I'm talking about or seen the commercials. There's an endless cycle of the characters who seem to be in anticipation, apprehension, and affirmation. The heroine of the movie is anticipating going back to the small town, back home to where she was, where the rush of Christmas is different than the rush of the big city job that she has. So she goes home. She rekindles a relationship with the ex-boyfriend, who happens to be very handsome, very eligible, and has a secure job. All of the men in this town are, by the way. Somehow they've escaped. So she has plans, though, to return to the big city job and to the big city lifestyle and the importance and the money. But she finally affirms that life is better in Evergreen, where true love and fulfillment is way more important than a high-profile job. We have anticipation, apprehension, and affirmation. Yes, there's three women that live in my house, and those are on constantly. It's the same movie over and over and over with different people playing the characters. Now, I have these three emotions myself whenever I do something big or different. For instance, we're going to take this trip to Haiti in the middle of February. We're leaving February 13th. Right now, I'm anticipating it. I'm excited for it. I'm really geeked up about it right now, okay? But come February 11, 12, 13, I guarantee you apprehension is going to set in because, first of all, I've got to, we got to arrange who's going to take the kids around, you know? Who's going to do that? That's me usually. Who's running the kids around? Well, grandparents are going to have to step in. People are going to have to, who's going to run the play cafe downstairs? Well, we got to find somebody to do it because Donnie's going to be in Haiti too, so she can't do it while I'm gone. We've got to figure out who's going to be on stage on Sunday. It's going to be the first Sunday that I'm not here. Jodina's got it. Okay. Actually, I've arranged already, so you're off the hook, Jodina. But so these things give me apprehension, but I guarantee you that once that plane lands and we get through the rush of the city and the dangers of all that, and we get it to where we're going and we're doing the preaching and teaching and the medical things going, I guarantee you affirmation will come. I am where I'm supposed to be for this trip, and this is what we were supposed to be doing, and I will have a purpose and I'll have intent, and it will be affirmed. Anticipation, apprehension, and affirmation. It's also shown in the wonderful story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she learns about the fact that she's going to become a mother. The angel Gabriel comes and she learns for the first time that she's going to give birth as an unwed mother. So we're going to hear that story in a minute. I want to set the scene for you a little bit. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. It means their dads had come to an agreement about their children getting married. The son and the daughter, okay, we agree. Here's what's going to be exchanged for that, but the exchange probably hadn't taken place yet. And that agreement, that betrothal, would be kind of like our engagement today, but only more so, because if Joseph and Mary decided to break up, they had to get a divorce in order to do so. So even though they weren't living together, they weren't married, they were betrothed, but it was a very serious arrangement. And so after the betrothal, during that period of time then, the son goes back to the father's house to add on a room or an addition or a new house to the father's house. He prepares a room for her, and it might take up to a year to do that, or even longer or shorter. Nobody knew how long that was. And once that room was complete, once the room was ready, then Joseph would go back and get Mary and take her, and then they would be married, okay? So there's a lot different in our culture today than it was then. So here Mary is. She's betrothed. She's promised to Joseph, but Joseph is away. He probably isn't around her during this betrothal period, and that's important because she's getting news that she's pregnant. And this is in a society where they stone people for sexual promiscuity. Not to mention Mary herself, she's just a nobody, all right? She's just a teenage girl in a nobody town. Now, see, this day and age, a nobody girl from a nobody town can get insta-famous for doing just about anything, like, going on the Dr. Phil show and threatening to fight the whole audience by saying, "Cash me outside, how about that?" You know, suddenly she's famous and she has a record deal and all that stuff, but that is not the case for Mary. Mary is a nobody girl from a nobody town. Nazareth was a nothing town. It's not even mentioned in the Bible all the way up until this point. This is the first time Nazareth is mentioned, because it was out away, out in the middle of nowhere. It didn't even have a good well to draw from. It was not a good town. And even later on in the Bible, we find out they say nothing good comes from Nazareth. So it's nothing. Nobody cared about it in those days. Nobody cared about this teenage girl. And so she finds out that she's pregnant. I want to read to you, and I'm going to have to skip a little bit, but here it is, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's her aunt, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. I'm going to show a little video clip for you. This is Mary. She's talking to Jesus, who is probably like, he's a young boy at this point. Jesus wants to hear the story of his birth, or that point in time. So we're hearing it from Mary's perspective. What happened when the angel came, now 10 years later or so, telling the story to Jesus, how that all went down. So Ben, if you could play that for us.
"I was a good girl. Strictly raised and betrothed to Joseph. When one morning my room filled with light, it was white light, like the sun, but with no heat or pain. It was pure. The air itself was glowing. I saw a figure, larger than a man, but like a man inside the light. And it spoke to me. It said, 'Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee.' I had found favor with the Lord, and I was blessed among women. It said that from my womb would come a son. You. Named Jesus." "This is nice. You're getting so big, we won't be able to do this much longer."
"Go on with the story."
"I said I had never been with a man. So the angel said that the Holy Spirit would come over me and that I would give birth to a holy child. I answered, 'I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done.'"
"What did Joseph say?"
"Yes, that was a worry. But an angel also came to him and told him everything."
"Then, is he an angel?"
"No. No, the angel is not your father. God is." is your father.
Anticipation, apprehension, and affirmation. Can you hear that in her voice as she tells the story, the excitement, but there was a worry. There's a worry there too. And then she affirms that he is the Son of God. So I want to go through those emotions with her, with you. Anticipation being the first one. The angel greets her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So this angel comes to visit Mary. What an honor that would be. It doesn't just happen to anybody. Angels don't go around just visiting everybody. It happens for special reasons and special occasions. I think it still happens today too, but it's very rare. God doesn't go just sending angels to everybody. Not only that, the angel calls her highly favored. And I suppose if an angel comes to visit you, you could probably assume that you're favored. You know, it's a highly favored one. Having favor with God is a big deal. God's watching all the time, and he had been watching Mary, and he recognized that she was worthy of carrying the blessing of his son. Can you imagine the anticipation of that moment? Can you imagine being in her shoes and an angel coming to you? Would you be excited to have an angel come to you? I think if it were me and the angel come to me, "The Lord has found favor with you," I would be like, "Who, me? Really? Thank you." You know, I would want to know all kinds of things. I'd be asking the angel all kinds of questions, like why? Why? What's going on? Like, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened in Nazareth. Like, nobody's had angels come there. Like, this is a nothing town. Nothing's going on here. But then I might be scared too, because it's an angel. An angel has come to visit. What is going on that an angel would come to visit? I might be scared of that. The realization has hit Mary now that this is an angel. She moves quickly to the next phase. It's apprehension. The reality sets in. There's an angel here. Mary was greatly troubled, it says. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So she was afraid. She was troubled. No longer in excitement, but now she was in fear. Why is this happening here? What's going on? Wondering what kind of greeting this is. What is up with all this happening now? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus, and he'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." He says all kinds of wonderful things here about her son, all right? "Hey, you're going to have a baby, but it's going to be awesome for your son. Everything's going to be good. I want those things for my children too. You know, I would want to hear that about my kids. Like, they're going to be on this throne. They're going to be," and I'd be like, "Can I be chief of staff? Or, you know, do I get a nice house too? Or can I tag along on this?" But Mary skips all that. She's not worried about what is going to happen with her son. She's worried about something else. She has apprehension in another way. She gets very practical. She says, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" She asks the angel, "How will this be?" She's like, "You know, I've never, there's the birds and the bees, like, ain't done it, you know? So how's this going to be possible if that's to happen? Can't have a kid until, you know." You guys act like you don't know, but I think you know. We have the home group meets at our house, and sideline, we also have chickens at our house. You know, we have chickens, but we also have a home group, and sometimes we eat the eggs, but it doesn't matter. One guy asked us, like, "Hey, do those chickens produce eggs?" They're like, "Yeah, we produce it in the summertime. It produces so many eggs, we can't keep up with them. We give away the eggs." He's like, "Oh, do you ever have any baby chicks?" And I said, "No, we don't have any roosters." He goes, "Well, yeah, that's fine, but do you ever get any chicks?" I was like, "We don't have roosters." He says, "Yeah, but you got the egg, and the egg is, like, it still has the egg. It shouldn't be a baby chick." I'm like, "You are a grown man with children of your own. Like, how does he just didn't get it?" And then he realized. Mary already knew what my friend didn't know. Can't have the baby until the mom and dad unite. So she's like, that hasn't happened yet. So how can this happen that you're telling me? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, the Greek words here, it's kind of like the idea of a cloud enveloping or overtaking. Remember this, back when the Hebrew people were moving from Egypt, from slavery, to the Promised Land, wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, the cloud would keep them safe, would descend on them, would overshadow them. That's the same idea that's being said here for Mary. That the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It's a mysterious movement of the Holy Spirit will overcome you and envelop you. This is the miraculous mystery of the virgin birth, which actually was a virgin conception. The birth was quite natural, but the conception was a miracle. So the angel wasn't done delivering the news yet. And the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month with the baby now. For no word from God will ever fail. So there was also another miraculous conception happening at the same time. Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, were old. And they were having a baby too. So this Elizabeth is actually Mary's aunt. She ends up having a baby boy named John. We call him John the Baptist. Jesus and John the Baptist are cousins, all right? So a miraculous conception happening on the other side of the family as well with Zechariah and Elizabeth. God is a God of miracles. He chooses the most unlikely candidates, the most unlikely people to carry out the tasks that he has for them. He chose an old man and an old woman multiple times throughout Scripture, but right now I'm talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth to have a baby for the first time, to have a baby that would grow up to be the forerunner, the prophet of Jesus Christ himself, John the Baptist. And then he chooses Mary, a teenage girl from a nobody town that nobody would have cared about otherwise, to carry out his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Our God is a God of miracles. He chooses folks that have no power or authority, and he goes with them to bless them so that they can bless the world. So those words might have calmed her fears and her apprehension. He says, no word from God will ever fail. So Mary, you might as well get on board, because ready or not, here it comes. And so she says, I affirm this. Here's what she says. It's affirmation. She says, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled in me. And that's when the angel left her. So I felt like reading these words that Mary said, like she could really say them in a couple different ways. She could say them in a kind of like resigned kind of way, like resignation or despondently. Or she could read, or she could say them hopefully. Okay, so she could say it like this. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. Because, I guess we're going to do this. You know, like, I could see her really being resigned to that fate. I'll do it. Let it happen to me. It's going to happen whether I'm ready or not. So just, all right. Isn't that way the Christmas season is for you right now? Oh, Christmas is going to be here, ready or not. Let's just get through it. I forgot the ham. It's all right. We'll eat cold cuts instead. You know, resigned to our fate of Christmas being here. So ready or not, here comes Christmas. Ready or not, physically, with all the things that we have to do, celebrations we have to go to, whether the gifts are purchased or wrapped or not, we have Christmas coming. Ready or not, here it comes. But being ready or not for Christmas does not prevent the reality of Christmas and the celebration of the first coming of Jesus Christ into our midst. Ready or not, Jesus has come. Ready or not, Jesus is here. He's in our midst. And December 25 is going to come and go. Ready or not. Are you ready spiritually? Not only that, there'll be a day when Jesus comes back. We believe as a people of Christ that Jesus will make a triumphant entry back into our world to rescue us even from ourselves. Ready or not, here he comes. Are you ready? Are you resigned to a fate, or are you hopeful in it? The significance is not being resigned to the fact of its coming, but in affirming the reality of the love of God in the form of Jesus Christ. Do you resign to it, or are you affirming it? Don't be like, I was just thinking, like, that could be an Eeyore style of like, oh, here it comes, ready or not. But hey, I am ready to meet my Savior. I am ready when Jesus comes. Mary affirmed the reality of Jesus' coming. She wasn't merely resigned to the reality. She affirmed it. She surrendered to the process. She didn't know everything that was going to go on. She wasn't informed all the details about what was going to happen for those 9 months of embarrassment that she was going to suffer through. She didn't know what all was going to happen to Jesus throughout his life. She didn't know what an enormous and dangerous challenge it would be for her and Joseph, but she affirmed the words of the angels. And she set her apprehensions aside long enough to allow God's blessing to overwhelm her and overcome her, and ready or not, bring the greatest blessing to earth that the earth has ever known. We cannot know everything that's going to happen to us. We might be apprehensive about certain things. We cannot know what we might be asked to endure. We can't know every blessing that will come our way. We can't know, and we mustn't resign ourselves to the fate that comes to us, but we should do as Mary did and surrender to the journey, affirming God's loving work within us and through us. Mary did not know what was going to happen to her, what was to come, but she confidently surrendered herself to God. And she claimed it herself. She says, I am a servant. She even named herself, I'm a servant. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. That's affirmation. That's not resignation. So as we wrap up Advent, and now we look to Christmas Eve tomorrow or the services tonight and whatever things that you have going on in the next few days, I know you have anticipation. You have excitement for some of those things. But I know that you have some apprehension over the dynamics of things. How is all this going to get done? Where do I need to go? So-and-so is going to be at that party. I don't really want to go. You know what I'm talking about. How things will go, we don't know. But affirm the reality of Christ's presence, not only in the form of baby Jesus, but affirm him in your life and in your heart. Set aside that anxiety, that apprehension long enough, just like Mary did, so that you can affirm the goodness of God's work in you and through you, so that you can experience the love of Christ, just like Mary did so long ago on the birthday of Jesus. Let us pray. God, I thank you again for this moment in time and the joy of the season and the celebration that we have. We ask, Lord, that you help us to center our thoughts and our hearts and our priorities on you so that we can concentrate on your goodness, so that we can affirm your love, so that we can be blessed to be a blessing in this season, rather than suffering through the apprehension and the nerves and being scared for what might come. May we be hopeful in who did come. So God, be with us in this time. And even though Mary didn't know everything that's going on, and we can't know everything, we ask, Lord, that you give us affirmation for who you are and what you've done in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mary did. Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you
God bless you all this morning. Merry Christmas to you. We hope to see you tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. But God bless you. If we don't see you, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for being here today.